Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here, Kelly.
Excellent. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Greetings. Greetings from the UK.
Charlotte coming to us from the future, as always.
Yes.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about was, Andrew, aside from data breaches, one of the things you and I like to talk about is robocalls. So yes. You've discovered a new proposition from a company that is trying to do something to block these, right?
Yeah, so it's the developer is called Ad Hoc Labs. If you've ever heard of this app called Burner, which gives you a second phone number, that's who makes it.
Okay.
So this app is just called Firewall, I think. And it's a call blocking app. The way they block robocalls is the opposite of what other apps do. So instead of maintaining this giant list, this giant blacklist of millions of phone calls, what they do is let you create a whitelist of people that you do want to hear from, and then it automatically blocks everywhere else, everyone else. Now, the app is cool, but at the same time, you can also do this with built-in tools using iOS. I've written a tip about this before where you can, it's a feature of Do Not Disturb, where every calls from people who aren't in your contacts list, I think, will just go straight to voicemail. And I'm pretty sure, I forgot to look this up before we started, but I think Apple changed this a bit in iOS 13, I think maybe to make it a bit more easier.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of this. I've helped a couple of people set it up who were absolutely overloaded with robocalls. And basically, the do not disturb setting I gave them, because this was before, this was more than a month ago, so there was no iOS 13 option. The setup I gave them was basically, your phone won't ring unless it's a contact. The rest of the time, it's just silent. Unless you are actively using your phone, if you have it and it's awake and somebody calls you, then the call will come through. It's up to you if you want to decline it or not. But otherwise, it will mostly be just silent. And, you know, maybe the screen will light up, but it won't actually alert you in any way that the phone is ringing. Which, for at least two or three people that I've helped set that up, has been really really useful. And, you know, the follow-up question I got was, you know, what if it's just a number I want to talk to but I don't have in my phone? You know, I'm getting an automated reminder of an appointment or something. The first thing to know is that if it's a legitimate call, they're going to leave you a voicemail. You know, I mean, we've all gotten that robot voice, right? Like, hi, this is to confirm. So first of all, if they're legit, they'll leave it. And, you know, second, you know, once you've got a phone call from that number, you can save it in your phone. It's not that complicated.
I'm still confused by this concept of voicemails.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
You can send your air through the voice using radio waves, Charlotte.
No, I understand that bit, but voicemail feels very 2005 to me.
Well, it's older than that, which I don't know if you know.
I think that might have been the last time I left a voicemail message.
Yeah. Well, visual voicemail, you know, the way voicemail gets handled on iOS, I think has been huge, because that's been a really helpful method, because I can see immediately, like, I don't care. Especially when with the transcription working on those. So I can just see the text of, my business doesn't need a loan. My social security number didn't expire. I can just delete those and block the call, and it makes it a lot easier to do that, since you can see the text of the voicemail. So,
robocalls are not really a thing here.
You're very lucky.
Lucky.
Although I think it's just going to be a question of time, because once they start cracking down on them with feeling in the US. I think it's going to happen other places. So you might be next on the list.
It basically never happened to... I may have had a couple in my life.
I wonder if you have better laws or if it's just that they're not bothering because there's way more people here.
I don't know the laws, actually.
I have heard that British people don't like bothering other people.
That's true.
So maybe they're just too polite to robocall you.
No, I mean, it's interesting. I've had a few calls of like, we heard you're in an accident.
Yeah.
But they've also been from human beings as often as they are robots, I would say.
We have a lot of, we're sort of lumping everything into a category because most of the time it's not actual people. And a lot, but we do also have the occasional, we see there's been an error on your computer and we're here to help you for a nominal fee. Those are always real people. They're also terrible, but they sort of get lumped in with all of the basically unwanted phone calls.
Yeah, so I'm in Do Not Disturb settings. I'm running iOS 13 beta.
Okay.
So when you turn it on, you can allow allow calls from everyone, no one, favorites, or different contact groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think before iOS 13, it was just all your contacts or nothing.
Yes, it was. That was the setup I was using on those other phones. So yes, that's how it works. So I'm glad to see that there's a contact group so that you can set up, like, these are people I actually want to hear from. And then there's just these other people that are kind of in my phone for one reason or another. Yeah, and I don't have to worry about those.
Create your own VIP list, like in Mail.
Yeah, basically. It would be great. And I think, I'm glad that it's an option, but it sucks that it has to be, I guess. I would rather it were just easier to not get the calls in the first place, but I'm glad that it's gotten more straightforward to try to manage some of those calls just by virtue of the fact that you're using iOS. There are better options all the time for how you're able to set that up. Because at first, Do Not Disturb was binary. Either your phone made noise or it didn't. And then we added, I don't know what they call it, meeting mode or something like that, where if you put your phone face down, then it knows it's face down and it will just be in Do Not Disturb while you lay it on the table. And then now we've got a better way to manage some of the phone call stuff. So at least in some facets of iOS, we're getting a little bit more attention paid to some of that stuff as it continues to evolve. So I'm glad to see that there's a contact groups option. So, you know, I can just set it so that only certain people actually get to ring through. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't be sorry to Charlotte that she's not able to experience the joy of the robocall along with Andrew and I.
I feel like I'm missing out.
Okay, so then Andrew, that means you and I need to set random reminders and just call Charlotte and tell her there's something wrong with her car.
Yeah.
Well, that would be nice. I'd enjoy that.
Then we're doing it wrong. We'll just get a recording and we'll just play a recording to you every so often of something, and there you go. Anyway. So this firewall app, Andrew, is it free?
It is free. I think, let me check.
Is it freemium? They're offering some sort of paid.
The subscription, I think, is maybe $3 a month.
Okay.
No, it's four. Okay.
$4 a month. Okay.
Yeah. But like I said, just use the Do Not Disturb thing.
Yeah. Yeah. To do the same thing, that will get you where you need to go, for sure. So, anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask about today, or discuss today, was Spotify, who have been in the news an awful lot in Charlotte's corner of the planet. Less so here, because they have action against Apple in front of courts.
It's not quite courts, actually. It's there is a antitrust case that that Spotify are bringing to the EU, to the European Commission. Their complaint, as we know and as we've discussed before, is against what it calls the app tax, the up to 30% that apps on the apps or not the iOS app store and so on pay on subscriptions and things. They pay up to 30% of that. It's 30% the first year, 15 in this from there then on.
For anyone that wants to have a subscription service in the app store,
correct. So
except you, Spotify.
So well, so. There's a really interesting thing going around music industry publications who have seen Apple's argument that it's going to put forward to this antitrust case, which basically says Spotify didn't pay. So Spotify paid only 15%, not the 30% Daniel Ek, the CEO, Spotify has often talked about, on just 0.5%. or so of its customers, 680,000 customers. That was between 2014 and 2016. And Apple says that Spotify hasn't paid any commission since 2016. Obviously, as we know, you can't subscribe to Spotify now through Apple, through the iOS App Store and things. Mm-hmm. So Apple hasn't got any of that money. So that's what's been going on, and it's quite it's interesting because this is looking to get quite feisty. I remember when this case first came about, and Apple put a very strong response out. We discussed it, didn't we, on the show, Kelly?
Yes.
And we were both taken aback. Actually, it may have been the three of us all together, actually, on that day. And that I remember us being somewhat taken aback at the strength of Apple's pushback, because mm-hmm. this is not Apple is not a company known to get into kind of PR flame wars, right? That's not how mm-hmm. it does things,
right?
But it was obviously very unhappy then.
Yes,
and now this stuff is true and is as Apple is trying to present it, which of course we don't know yet. We might be able to start to see why Apple was so angry then.
Yes. And part of the reason that Apple would have popped off like that, it sounds like, is because Spotify is crusading against this 30% app tax, this 30% tax that they say that they're paying, that is just tragically unfair. And it's so awful that this is what they're paying. And so, yet,
hang on, that isn't Spotify's argument. Let's be very clear what Spotify's argument is. Its argument is that when you have Apple Music at $9.99, and Apple Music obviously doesn't have to pay this 30% because it's an Apple service, it makes it impossible for an external service, a third party like Spotify, to compete because it has to put up its prices accordingly to pay the revenue share.
Right.
That's Spotify's argument, and that's why it's an antitrust case, because it's saying Apple is basically monopolizing music subscription. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the logical extension, it seems, of its argument. So that's the context of Spotify's complaint. But Apple's argument here is that actually Spotify is not paying anywhere near that.
Right.
Which, if true, you know, they will say very clearly undermines Spotify's argument.
Right. And that's where that was the part that I was trying to get at, was they're saying that this 30% is terrible and that they have to pay it is so unfair, but they were never paying it. And the 30%
the Apple's argument.
Well, right. And the 30% that is in question is still only on the first year. So
yes.
So that's the other piece.
Which Apple has pointed out from the beginning of this kind of fracas. It said, actually, you know, we only charge, and it's across all developers, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Spotify is also paying less than 15% because it has some discounts from record labels and things. So, look, Apple is obviously going to try and bring these numbers to the European Union and to try and undermine Apple's argument. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how this kind of plays out, because it's quite, you could argue, it's quite a fundamental test case for Apple across the board, because it's, you know, Apple is moving into more subscription services, as we know and as we've discussed, TV, news, all these things that we know Apple is doing, gaming, of course, mm-hmm. all these things that Apple is wanting to do. it obviously at this point doesn't want its services model to be undermined in any way, either by having less people involved in the App Store and getting less revenue from that, or, you know, to people challenging any of its thing around its service model.
Mm-hmm. So because I am always sort of curious what Spotify is up to, because they're a huge competitor in the rest of the world. And so I'm always kind of like checking out what they're up to. And they, this is sort of the latest, I don't know, misstep for them, right, Charlotte? Because they've also
they're not having a good few days.
Yeah. They're also in the midst of trying to say, we overpaid the royalties to all of these people for, I think, 2018. And we want to get that money back, but we're going to appeal the decision that says that, you know, and I'm making these numbers up, but like, we don't want to pay 4 cents a song. We liked it when it was 3 cents a song, or 0.3 cents or whatever the rate is. And they're unhappy. And so basically they're saying, like, we're going to get all this money back from all these people and appeal this so that these new higher rates don't go into effect. We don't want them to. And in that particular case, there are a number of subscription services that are in on that same case. Apple is not among them, which is also interesting to me.
Yeah, so the people involved in the case you're describing are SiriusXM, Pandora, Google, and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's messy. A spokesman for Spotify was talking about overpayment in 2018, but they've extended the recoupment period through to the end of 2019 to minimize the impact of adjustment.
Right, but they're going to call it an advance, so they're going to like just not pay you. Because they already paid you last year.
That's their claim. Now,
is what they want to do, yeah.
Given that Spotify is criticized regularly for underpaying artists, none of this is a good look.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that's the other thing that makes this latest bit of news interesting to me, is that it's still basically Spotify coming off cheap. And yeah, it's really not a good look. I think that's
I forget rough. If this happened earlier this year or last year, but I wrote about how Apple was entering in some agreement with some songwriter industry where they agreed to pay more mm-hmm. royalties to artists.
I think Taylor Swift threw down with them. That might have been it. I could be wrong. But no, I remember yeah, that
I
being
mean, I
part
suspect
of
it's still not a great return.
Yeah, oh no, it's still, yeah, it went from super awful to really pretty bad, and like, you know, it's still not right. good, but it's still better, and Apple doesn't sound interested in keeping that rate at the lower end, so, you know, good on them. So, you know, I mean, I would think that Amazon and Google were kind of in the same boat. Like, they could afford to pay another cent a song, right? So,
of course, yeah, I mean, and that's all fine, but none of these people have the subscriber base, particularly when you talk about Google and Amazon.
Right.
Their music services don't have anywhere near the reach of Spotify.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I don't really get Spotify's... Because they're accusing Apple of being a monopoly in this area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That they're preventing fair practice, I think. Something like that. Yeah, it's antitrust is what it comes down to.
Which I don't get, because I forget the numbers for the US, but worldwide Spotify has, I think, around 200 million users.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Apple Music the app does come pre-installed on Apple devices, but Apple doesn't have a free tier. It's not lowering its price to try to squeeze out Spotify. It's just doing what it's always been doing.
So I think that part. Is it 200 million in total and about 100 million premium subscribers, Spotify?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's the numbers in my piece, and that's the numbers I'm reading whenever, you know, I look into this stuff. So none of the other services can compete with that.
Right. Which is part of what makes it interesting that this is what they're complaining about.
Yeah, and Spotify got a massive numbers boost because it put on an offer in India, really went to compete in India, which obviously is hugely significant in terms of numbers.
Yeah. So, so where is this case?
Europe, yeah, but here in Europe, this row is going to carry on, I would suggest, for a fair while. and I don't think, well, because obviously Apple, I imagine, would like to put this case, its answer to Spotify's claim forward, and then, you know, the EU dismiss it. But actually, it seems likely that they're still going to investigate the antitrust situation.
So that's where we are, is that this is, Spotify is calling for there to be an investigation.
I suspect that that investigation will still happen, and this kind of greater look into the music market and antitrust practices within the music market, the digital streaming market, I would imagine will continue.
Okay.
But no guarantees that it's worth keeping an eye on.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And we will. But that's why I was asking, like, where we are, is because if this is going to continue, then we will probably have you back to talk about it. And right, when we talk about it, that's what the next steps are probably going to be, is that there will be an investigation. So,
well, and also that would be quite good, because what it will mean is that we might actually be able to see the case that Apple is putting forward.
Right.
This is all just rumor from sources at the moment, which is interesting for us. But you know, when you see it played out officially, that's when you really know what each side is having,
right,
is saying.
And when we get to that point, there might be numbers, which would be kind of exciting.
Absolutely.
To just have some hard evidence to back some of this up. So it'll be, mm-hmm. It'll certainly be interesting to see what comes out of this, regardless of how far the case proceeds, if we get an investigation, because the investigation needs to go forward. Then it will be very, I will be very interested to see what those results look like. So, yeah. We will see. And stay tuned for the music podcast that apparently Andrew and Charlotte and I are going to put together later. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and call it for today. If you have some opinions about the Spotify piece, or if you have robocall tips, or if there's a service that you're using that you particularly enjoy, we want to hear about it. You can email observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at CMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. So with that, Andrew, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm glad you didn't get interrupted with a robocall in the middle of today's show.
Right.
Also, Charlotte Henry, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm going to give you an unsolicited plug. Charlotte has a book out, and you should check it out. And we will tell you more about it. Once, I believe, I don't think it's available here yet. Is that correct, Charlotte, in the US?
Well, I think you can probably order it off Amazon. It's called Not Buying It. It's about fake news and post-truth and all the fun we're living through at the moment. It's over on Amazon. So yeah, Not Buying It. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for the plug. Yes.
So please buy
and
Not Buying It.
If I'm sounding a bit slow today, it's because it was my book launch last night.
Yes. And that's why we've been a little bit quieter today. Out of respect for Charlotte.
Quiet voice day today.
It is. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.